This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. In about 15 minutes, we'll bring you the KLCI opening numbers as well as some of the latest corporate news. But in the meantime, Vietnam. Now, that's a relatively small company, but a large population and a long and somewhat porous border with China. And while you've seen some of the cases count from Vietnam, incongruously low, isn't it?
Yeah, so they have a population of 95 million people, but they are seeing fewer than 300 cases of infections and no deaths are reported. So I think the Vietnamese Prime Minister has said that no provinces in Vietnam were now seen as highly prone to the pandemic, which is, of course, really interesting, right? But I think they took some very early measures. They banned flights from Wuhan as early as February, and days later, they closed off their borders with China to all but very essential trade and travel.
Of course, Vietnam is a country, not a company, but it also has a 1,400-kilometre border with China, which is now closed to all but essential trade and travel. So we're going to get into the insights into what happened with COVID-19 and why it seems on the surface quite a safe place to be. So we've got on the line up with us Dr. Lay Hong Hiap. He's a fellow at the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute specialising in Vietnam Studies. Dr. Lay, thank you for talking to us. Why do you think that this country has such apparent success with a pandemic?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I think there are a few factors at work here. First, there was high awareness of the danger of the virus among the government officials and the public. Second, there's a strong political will to deal with the virus despite some short-term economic losses. And most importantly, the Vietnamese government took very early and drastic measures to contain the virus. For example, as you mentioned, they closed off the border with China and banned all flights from China very early when many countries are still debating whether to do it. They also did mass quarantine. In many cases, they quarantined the whole village or the whole condo just because of one single suspected case. They also did aggressive contact tracing up to 4 layers of contacts, and they also imposed health declaration for everyone. They asked everyone to wear a mask, and they also imposed social distancing measures very early on. So in order to do so, Vietnam had to mobilize resources on a very large scale, something not doable in many societies. Here, I think Vietnam's one-party political system helps. They can enforce different measures without opposition. They waste no time to debate the necessity of certain steps, basically no question asked. Yeah. At the same time, they can easily and quickly, mobilize different facilities such as military barracks, university dorms, and other public venues to facilitate the mass quarantine. So all this contributed to the overall success of Vietnam to contain the virus.
How many tests did they do a day? And are you satisfied that these numbers are not too low?
Actually, yes. Some people died with symptoms like those of COVID-19. But after tests, the government reported that they died because of other reasons. Because there's no independent verification, it's impossible to confirm suspicions. But so far, I believe there's no cover-up because in Vietnam, the state surveillance is everywhere. There are also foreigners, experts of international organizations, diplomats. They are living in the country at the moment. And more importantly, people are very scared of the disease. They are highly alert. So it's very difficult to hide anything unusual from them.
Dr. Lay, Vietnam also has some experience with outbreaks, obviously SARS 2003. In your opinion, what was Vietnam able to learn from that, which helped it come out ahead of the COVID-19 virus?
Yes, I think the experience with SARS helped to some extent. They learned some lessons in the past and they are highly aware of the danger of the virus. But I think equally important is the news of high number of deaths in China, early on. Such news scared everyone, and officials knew that they had to take strong measures, to prevent it from happening in Vietnam.
I'm also getting the sense that, like what you suggested, there is this culture of surveillance and ability to clamp down very quickly, and I think also as well on fake news. How have the Vietnamese people responded to this increased surveillance and enforcement?
Yes, they have a massive surveillance system to track down suspected cases early. But the people are generally very cooperative, very compliant. Many people wore masks before the government asked them to do so. Many of them wanted the government to close schools very early on. And most of them voluntarily stayed at home even before social distancing measures were imposed. So I think this also helped as well.
Okay, so healthcare-wise, there are some estimates that suggest there's about 8 doctors for every 10,000 people in Vietnam, which doesn't sound a lot. What's your opinion in terms of the states of the healthcare system overall?
I went back to Vietnam for health checkup from time to time, and in my opinion, it is not as advanced as in developed countries, of course, but more facilities and healthcare workers are needed. But I think it's above average for a developing country. Healthcare is also very affordable, thanks to very good policies. For example, most people have health insurance subsidized by the state. So I think it's not bad at all.
I understand that Vietnam does not have a Minister of Health. And so how did they manage to, you know, have all these good policies?
At the moment, position of health minister is vacant, but there's also a deputy prime minister who is overseeing this ministry. So basically, everything is business as usual. And because Vietnam is kind of a socialist country, so they pay a lot of attention to the welfare of the people, and healthcare is obviously one of their priorities.
Yeah, Dr. Le, I see in front of me that growth in Vietnam has been over 7% in both 2018 and 2019. 2020 expectations for over 4% of growth. From what you know and from the data that's in front of you, to what extent do you think Vietnam is going to be the beneficiaries of an economy which is one of the first to ease lockdowns and in terms of redirection of business from companies like countries like China, which is seeing a shift of production out of the nation?
Well, I think it's still early to tell. Vietnam may enjoy some benefits from this trend, you know, shifting production out of China. This trend started before COVID-19 due to the U.S.-China trade war. But, because many other countries are still under lockdown and international travel is still restricted, it's very hard for business people and investors to move around. So how much Vietnam will benefit from this trend, you know, in the future will depend on two things. First, when COVID-19 ends, and second, what Vietnam does to increase its capacity to absorb new investments. Currently, there are still some problems. For example, more infrastructures need to be built and upgraded. The country may face some power shortage in the near future. So more power plants need to be built and, more workers are to be trained, to meet the increasing demands from investors. It takes some time for the Vietnamese government to do all these things. So I think it's still early to tell whether Vietnam will really benefit from this mega trend. So I think let's wait and see.
What about bureaucracy and corruption?
Well, I think it's still a persisting problem. The government is doing all it can to deal with these problems. For example, since 2016, they conducted a very high-profile anti-corruption campaign to stem out corruption. But of course, in a one-party system like Vietnam, where they lack an independent judiciary, independent press, for example, it's very difficult to stem out corruption completely. But I think the government is well aware of the consequences of corruption for the party itself and also for the economy. So they are doing everything they can, to deal with this situation. I think next year when Vietnam will have a new government and new leaders, they will continue to pursue this campaign to improve the situation.
Okay, Dr. Le, thank you ever so much for your time. That was Dr. Le Hong Hiap at the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute out of Singapore. Interesting comments. And Noel, for a country which is as populated as Vietnam, I mean, if you've ever been there, Saigon, Hanoi, people walk in the streets cheek by jowl, lots of people walking around. But it does seem as if this is one of the beneficiaries of a socialist system, of a communist country, where whatever the top says, the bottom does.
Yes, this is unlike the US, where it's probably the other extreme. You have 1 million cases, but everybody's demanding to be outdoors. And so we're just looking at Vietnam, just looking at the rankings, right? Vietnam was ranked 50 out of 195 countries in terms of its readiness for epidemics by a survey, the Global Health Security Index. This is the ranking that they were in. But I've ranked number one is US, France 11, 30, Italy 30, number 31st, 31. But Malaysia, interestingly, is number 18 and above Singapore. So I'm not sure how reliable this index is, or perhaps we are a case of our own worst enemy. But interesting that we're actually quite high up there in comparison to Vietnam. But I guess I think really what's happening for Vietnam is I think from very early on, they did all the necessary measures and they came down hard on it. After a full week of no new patients, they have decided to end the enforcement of social distancing over the whole country. I guess so that's something for them to celebrate.
Yeah, interesting, right? There's only 270 official cases. That's 270, okay, out of a population
of 95 million
people. That's right, of which 222 have recovered. And basically, no deaths, right? So read into that what you will in terms of what Dr. Lei just said. Okay, 8:59 in the morning. We'll come back with the market news after this. So don't go away. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.